Chapter 17.
I stood on a low hill overlooking the fortress of the Clover Queen, and an ominous feeling settled in the pit of my stomach. The monstrous castle rose from the barren landscape like a house of cards, and the daunting black walls cut across the empty plain in the shape of a three-leaf clover. Everything was colorless, like the nightmares that roamed all the land had already sucked all the life out of anything that once existed here. No trees or plants dotted the landscape, and nothing stood between us and the fortress to hide behind. We were completely exposed. Fortunately, the fortress was still far enough away from us that anyone on the walls wouldn't be able to see us, so we were safe, for now. "Where is the sewer entrance?" I asked as I turned to Una. "Can it be seen from the walls?"
"I believe so. I escaped at night, but there were still clovers after me for a long time. Then they sent out the Sniffer Snatcher. I would have been doomed if it weren't for you, Alex."
I drew an outline of a clover shape on the ground, and I pointed to the stem. "The Bird Scouts said this is the only way in or out, but they didn't know about the sewer. We can still catch them by surprise, but if they see us from the walls before we get inside, then it's all over before it even starts."
"What you need is a good distraction,"
May mused as she took a long pull from her pipe, and a moment later her face was shrouded in smoke.
"I will do it."
"Hold on. We need to come to a decision together. I like the idea of a distraction, though. What do you have in mind?"
"I attack the front gates,"
May declared as she jabbed the mouthpiece of her pipe at the drawing I'd made on the ground.
"I challenge the Queen of Clovers to one-on-one combat."
No.
"She'll never accept, and she'll just send legions of cards out to fight you,"
Zeedy squeaked, and her entire little body vibrated with fear.
"May, you can't go alone."
"That is why we are here, is it not?"
Shelly the Bear Woman asked. "True," I said, as I scratched at the growing stubble on my chin. "If we separate, we can keep their eyes locked on the main gate while the rest of us sneak inside the sewage tunnels."
"A wise plan, Dreamer,"
May complimented.
"I will follow your command to my death."
"Let's hope it doesn't come to that." Then we went about the beginning stages of our plan. May took the majority of our small army, and they geared up in preparation for their frontal attack, while Una, Lena, Zeedy, and I got ready for our stealth mission. We waited until everyone was in place, and once I heard a long whistle from May, which was our signal, the four of us skirted around to the backside of the fortress. I followed behind Una as the cat girl scurried across the landscape, but then she began to search the ground. I wasn't sure what exactly she was looking for, so I felt helpless as I waited and kept my head on a swivel. But then she rushed forward to lift something from the ground. It was a metallic lid that had blended in with the dark, lifeless dirt, and when the cat girl lifted it, a hole was revealed beneath. I peered into the darkness with growing trepidation, but then I heard the sounds of battle in the background. May and the others were already involved in combat with the clover cards, and now it was up to us to do the rest. I just hoped they could hold out long enough for us to get out with the prisoners. I cast one last glance around me, but I didn't see any enemies. So I followed Una down into the darkness, with Lena and Zeedy in tow. Once we were at the bottom of the ladder, my feet squished into the wetness, and I grimaced since I knew what it was. The smell was rancid, and I wished desperately for something to clog my nose, but nothing manifested magically before me. Oh well. We only had to stand it for a short while, and then once we returned to New Haven, we could all scrub the filth from our bodies. I splashed through the water behind the swishing tail of the cat girl for a while, and then we came to a junction in the pipes. Una looked both ways and sniffed curiously, but then she took the path to the left. We continued onward in the dark for a time, but I kept bumping into Una's back, so we eventually decided to light one of the torches we'd brought along with us. The sewage tunnels proved to be maze-like in nature, and we had to double back a couple of times when we encountered dead ends. I trusted Una completely, though, so I trudged on behind her without question. I was sure she'd been in a state of confusion when she'd escaped, and I was just happy she was able to find the sewage entrance at all. After what felt like forever, we came across another ladder leading up to a metal circle, and Una did a victory dance as she turned to me with a brilliant smile.
"We have arrived at the entrance to the basement,"
the cat girl declared as she puffed out her chest with pride.
"The dungeon is above the basement level, so we still have a little ways to go, but at least our feet will be on dry floors from here on out."
Too bad they're already soaked. But I'll be happy to get out of the sewers. Lead the way, babe. Una grinned before she scurried up the ladder, and I noticed she'd managed to keep her tail dry during our trek through the mud. But then I followed behind her, with Lena wrapped around my torso and Zeedy on my shoulder. I stuck the torch in a crevice in the wall at the bottom of the ladder, and then I climbed the rungs to the top. The cat girl waited for me at the top of the ladder, and her large violet orbs peered around in the darkness.
Hurry!
I'm coming, I said, as I pushed myself off the final rung and into the basement level of the Clover Fortress.
What next?
Zeedy squeaked in a curious voice.
The dungeon?
Lena guessed.
That's right.
Una confirmed with a nod.
This way.
Then the cat girl led us away from the manhole cover, and I finally got a good look at the room around me. It seemed like a maintenance room with buckets, brooms, and mops piled in the corner. A basket full of nasty rags sat beside a thick wooden door, and it was to this portal that Una moved. I drew my sword slowly and quietly, but I was dressed in the armor of a Clover Card Inkbag man, so my animal people friends would be what gave me away more so than the weapon. Just as Una was opening the door, alarm bells began to ring out so loud the noise echoed through my helmet like someone had hit me on the head with a hammer.
What is that?
Zeedy whimpered in a voice drenched with fear. The attack at the front gate, I reminded the Furbay, and I reached up a finger to stroke her in a reassuring manner. May and the others are drawing the Queen's forces away from us.
Oh, yes, I remember.
The Furbay sighed and nuzzled into my finger.
Thank you, Alex. I'm sorry. I believe I felt fear. Careful!
Una hissed under her breath.
There could be nightmares in the castle as well. Don't forget, they can sense fear.
That made me think about the last time we'd seen the nightmare. It hadn't chased after us, and at the time I thought it was because it couldn't see us. But maybe it had been because I wasn't as afraid. Wait, Una, listen up. Before we go out there, I have something I need to say. We have to be brave. Any sign of fear could alert the nightmares to our presence inside the castle.
I am brave,
Lena said with a slow nod.
Thanks to you.
Me too,
Zeedy whispered in my ear.
You know I am.
Una smirked, and one of her fangs stuck out over her lips at an adorable angle. You're all amazing. Let's do this. Then we opened the door and crept out into the hallway. Una looked both ways before she led us to the right, but at least there were torches along the walls to illuminate the path. The walls were iron, the corridor was lined with doors, and it definitely had a dungeon ambiance. The sound of dripping water echoed through the hallway, and Una walked with her steps timed to each drop's descent. I made every effort to muffle my movements, and while I felt I did a considerably good job despite the metal armor I wore, I was still much louder than the nimble cat girl. We came to a junction, and Una looked both ways as she sniffed the air. It seemed she was navigating purely by smell and memory, but I suppose she didn't have much time to study the layout of the dungeon while she was a prisoner there, since the Clover Cards had been forcing her to ingest potions against her will. Then I heard the telltale sound of metal armor clanging behind us, and I tapped Una on the shoulder. When I had her gaze locked in mine, I jerked my chin toward the hallway we'd just come down, and her eyes widened in alarm.
What do we do?
Una asked in an urgent whisper. Which way do we go? I pressed as I gestured with my sword to the junction. We could still outrun them. Una nodded, but then she dashed down the corridor to the left, and I hurried after her. I cast a glance over my shoulder as we rounded another corner, and the Clover Card's head popped into view for a single instant. I wasn't sure if he'd seen us, or if my disguise had worked, so I didn't stop.
You there! A voice called out from behind me. You're going the wrong way! Everyone was summoned to the front gate!
I ignored the call, and I gestured for Una to hurry up when she shot a glance at me over her shoulder. The two of us dashed down the door-lined hallway, and I was growing more and more curious about what laid inside each portal. Were they all full of prisoners? How many would be strong enough to fight our way out? Our first priority was to rescue the potion maker, Una's father, and the other people my girlfriend cared about. Then we would see about the rest of the cells. Clanging armor echoed behind me, but the sound was drawing steadily closer, and I realized the clover card was coming after us. I'd have to fight after all. I turned to face the ink bag bastard with a flick of my wrist, and in my next breath, I parried his heavy-handed overhead blow. Zidi spat in his face, and Lena reached out to smack him, but the blow did little other than annoy our enemy. Then my training with May kicked in, and I found myself slamming my heel into his ribcage. The clover card fell backward, but I didn't give him time to recuperate. I followed up with a feigned swing to the right, and as soon as the clover card moved to block my fake attack, I tossed my sword into my left hand and then shoved it into his neck. Blood sprayed onto the walls, and I leapt backward to avoid being covered in the inky black substance. Sewage was one thing, but I was sick of the clover cards dying all over me. A second clover card man trotted down the hallway toward us, but Una rushed forward and withdrew her sword in one fluid movement. The next thing I knew, the cat girl was standing over the bleeding corpse of the ink bag man, and all was well. "Wow, Una," I said as my eyebrows lifted into my hairline. "You've really gotten better with a sword."
"May taught me,"
Una said, as a self-conscious blush darkened her cherub cheeks.
"But I've been practicing on my own, too."
"Color me impressed," I said with a wide grin, but then I realized she couldn't see my face beneath the helmet I wore. "I'm proud of you."
"Oh!"
Una's expression brightened, and her eyes filled with adoration.
"Thank you, Alex."
Then the cat girl sashayed down the hallway past me, and her hips swayed with a confident attitude as she continued down the corridor. Oh, fuck, did I love her. I hurried to catch up to Una, but my movements clanged with metallic echoes, so I slowed down once I was a few paces behind her. I peered inside the window hole at the top of the iron doors that lined the hallway, but each cell I glanced inside was empty. I eventually stopped looking, and then we came to another junction. Una sniffed the air, and her ears flattened against her head.
"This is the place."
"Oh?" I swallowed down the ominous feeling that rose in my throat, and I reached for her hand.
Where they made me.
Una's purple gaze fell to the ground, and I squeezed her fingers encouragingly.
"The others can't be far."
"I'm right behind you, babe." Una nodded decisively, and her shoulders were straight as she led the way down the right-hand corridor. I heard the sound of voices in the distance, but the words were too faint to make out. We passed by more cells, but I heard moans from inside their iron doors, so I knew these ones were occupied. Una's nose was moving non-stop, and her pace quickened as she rushed down the hallway. She was heading directly toward the sound of the voices, though, so I rushed behind her despite my loud-ass armor.
"It's your turn," a masculine voice said.
"No, it's not,"
another argued. We burst into a room where two clover cards sat across from each other at a table playing cards, and while the irony wasn't lost on me, I quickly dove into action. I slid in front of Una and brandished my sword, but the two cards jumped up from their game to draw their own weapons. Una wasn't about to be left out of the fight, though, and she slid into position by my side in the same instant the two cards attacked. Without their shields to identify their numbers, I wasn't sure exactly which card they were, but it didn't really matter since they were going to die anyway. Lena clung to my neck from behind, but Zidi murmured encouragement in my ear as she clung to my shoulder. I reminded myself that the two animal women knew what they'd agreed to when we left on this mission, and then I refocused on the fight, just in time to parry a blow from the card to the right. Una lunged forward and jabbed at the bastard to the left in the same moment, and the two of us slid into a graceful dance of blades. I hadn't had the opportunity to fight like this with Una before, since she'd been suffering from the opposition effects of the agility potion, but I found myself in awe of her nimble finesse. Was my sperm really magic? I found myself growing more curious about the results of the doctor's research every time Una's effects subsided more, but I didn't have time to think about that now, so I refocused on the fight. We eliminated the two enemies easily, and then we stood over the puddle of black, inky blood as we looked around the room. It was circular in shape, and the doors to the cells were just iron bars here, so it came as a shock when I found myself staring into an ancient, feminine face. She was a human.
"Livia!"
Una gasped, and she rushed over to the bars to reach through.
"Oh, Livia, you're alive!"
"Una?"
The old woman, who I assumed was the potion maker we were here to rescue, blinked at the cat girl in confusion.
What are you doing here?
We're here to rescue you,
Una said, and she beckoned me over.
I found the dreamer. His name is Alex, and he's here to free you.
I gave the ancient old woman my most friendly smile, and I waved awkwardly as Livia scanned me up and down.
I don't understand.
The old woman shook her head.
What do you mean?
Una tilted her head to the side.
I've explained it.
Something itched at the corner of my brain, and I sighed as the thought formed. Una, I said in a soft voice. She's suffering from opposition. Una's eyes brightened with realization, but then they filled with sorrow.
A wisdom potion. Of course!
We'll fix her up, I promise. But first we need to get the fuck out of Dodge, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Alex, you should give her some of your magic seed!
Una's ears waggled with excitement.
I'm not gonna fuck some old lady in a dungeon. They don't even do that on Pornhub.
Such strange language,
Livia murmured, and her eyes were glassy with confusion.
You sound like the dreamer, but that would be impossible. He doesn't exist.
Yeah, she was definitely out of her mind. This was going to make my task a little harder, since I would have to find a way to continuously convince the potion maker to come with us. But first I had to break her free. Good thing I had a potion on hand for just this scenario. We'd thought of literally everything during the planning stages, including placing a couple of key potions inside my pack. I pulled my bag off my shoulders, and I lifted the visor of my helm so I could look better. Then I dug around inside the pouch in search of the container I wanted, but my fingers found purchase around the rim a moment later, and I withdrew a glass bottle labeled Strength. I grinned at Una, and the cat girl returned the expression as I tilted the bottle to my lips. I only drank a sip since I didn't want to waste any of the rare beverage, and then I replaced the cork stopper. I felt energy coursing through my veins in my next breath, and I inhaled greedily to fill my enhanced lungs. Then I stepped forward and gripped the iron bars of Livia's cell door. With a grunt, I heaved two of the bars apart, but for a moment nothing happened. Then the rods began to stretch and creak as they bent into a curved line. But I didn't stop until there was more than enough room for the potion maker to slip through.
What are you doing?
Livia asked with a dazed expression.
Saving you,
I said, as I reached out a hand to help her to her feet. Livia didn't lose her confused look as she accepted my hand and rose to her feet. But Una quickly came forward and supported the old woman upon her shoulders.
My father?
Una asked in a hopeful voice as she glanced around at the other cells. My eyes followed her gaze, and I saw a rabbit woman, two sets of blue eyes peering at me from the shadows, and a tiny man in a cage hanging from the ceiling I hadn't noticed before.
Una, is that your dad?
I asked as I pointed to the bird cage with the tiny person inside. Una's eyes were hopeful as they lifted to the ceiling, but I saw the disappointment in them immediately.
No. But I recognize him. He used to live in Havenwood. I heard he was the last person who took a big potion. Before you, of course.
Let's free everyone, I said, and I crossed the distance to the bird cage. Una nodded and moved to the cage full of women creatures, and a short while later, our little group was ready to leave. The rabbit woman's pink nose quivered, as did her tail, and I realized I could sense the fear radiating off of her. The two sets of blue eyes belonged to a pair of short, blonde twin women, and I couldn't help notice how attractive they all were, but I didn't have the time to take in all their details.
Everyone, this is Alex,
Una announced with a proud grin.
The dreamer.
The newly freed prisoners gasped, and jaws fell slack all around. I smiled sheepishly beneath their scrutiny, and then I signaled to Una.
Has anyone seen my father?
The cat girl's chin quivered, but I could see her swallow down a lump in her throat in an effort to be brave.
He was transported to another fortress,
the white rabbit woman said, but then her shoulders tensed, and Una gave her a stern look.
I don't know much. I just overheard the cards talking when they moved him. Another queen needed men to repair her section of the king's road. You'll still save us without him, right?
Of course,
Una sighed. But I could tell she was disappointed her dad wasn't included among the prisoners.
We'll find him,
I won't stop looking until we bring him home.
Me too.
I'm in.
Thanks.
Una smiled and seemed to brighten a little.
But let's just start with this lot.
We need to get out of here. We can save the rest of the introductions for when we're all safe.
All right.
Una breathed, but she had a new pep in her step as she returned to Livia's side. The white-tailed rabbit woman glanced fearfully from side to side with every step she took, so I took up a position behind her to urge her on. She flashed me a terrified glance, and I looked down to see myself through her eyes, in Clovercard armor and covered in their blood. I was sure I wasn't exactly the face of the dreamer they were expecting, but they'd understand more later. In the meantime, it was time to get the fuck out of the Clover Fortress. Una led us through the maze-like corridors of the castle back to the entrance to the sewers below, but the twins hesitated before climbing down into the shadows.
Oh, no, Dee. Do you smell that?
The twin who'd spoken flicked her blonde hair over her shoulder and wrinkled her nose in disgust.
There is no way I am going down there.
It's the way to freedom.
Don't yell at Da!
The other twin interjected in a loud voice.
She's had a long day.
Holy shit. They were just like the Valley Girls I used to have the hots for in college. I swallowed down the moisture that suddenly filled my mouth, and I gestured to the entrance to the sewers. Poop or death? It's up to you, but this is the only chance you're gonna get. Poop will wash off. Death, not so much.
Ugh, fine.
Da huffed, and she swung her legs over the edge of the hole.
Dee, you better come with me, or I would rather die.
I rolled my eyes at the dramatic flair the blonde twins already had, and then I followed them down with the tiny man, Lena, and Zeedy in my arms. I had to maneuver the ladder with one hand, but I didn't mind. We were on our way to safety. Concern for May and the others' safety filled my chest, but I took a deep, calming breath and reminded myself that I would be with them shortly. There was no way a few clover cards would best the Dodo woman in battle, no matter how many men they had. I fetched my torch, and then we traversed the canals of the sewers. Una once again took the lead, but I remembered the path from the way in, so it was easier for me to keep pace with her. Livia and the others struggled to trudge through the muck, and the loud complaints from the twins echoed down the tunnels in both directions. If there were any clover cards nearby, we'd be found out for sure, but I was more worried about calling for the other half of my followers to retreat before they were injured. We turned down a junction, and I nearly barreled into Una's backside as she came to a halt. The muck splashed against our calves, but I couldn't tell what had caused her to stop so suddenly.
Alex,
she whispered in a barely audible voice.
There's someone in the tunnel up ahead.
Shit, I said as I stepped in front of her. A huge, muscular, bare-chested man stood in the sewer tunnel with his back to us. He wore a black hood and black leather pants, but nothing else, and his muscles rippled as he gripped a long, executioner-style axe. On the monstrous man's bare back was etched a large A with a single black clover between his shoulder blades. It looked like an ace of clovers to my eyes, and it stood between us and freedom. Shit, shit, shit. The dude looked jacked up on steroids, and even with the strength potion, I wasn't entirely sure I was a match for him. I also didn't know how much longer I had on the potion buff timer. I was the only thing standing between the ace and the prisoners I'd freed, so I didn't have a lot of other options. I'd have to take him out as fast as I could if I wanted to see them to safety, but it could very well be the death of me, too. I swallowed down the lump of fear that rose in my throat, and I put on a brave face for the women who huddled behind me. Get back down the tunnels a bit, and wait for me to signal it's safe to come out.
What if you never signal?
The white rabbit woman practically sobbed. I'm the dreamer. I gave her an encouraging smile, even though I didn't entirely feel confident about my chances at success. Don't worry. I waited until my group of newly freed prisoners were safely out of sight past the last junction we'd crossed, and then I slowly slid my sword from its sheath. I had to kill this guy, or my friends would get captured again. The instant I began to advance down the tunnel, the ace's head swiveled toward me, and I froze. Holy shit, this guy was bigger than Dwayne Johnson and twice as ripped. I shook my head to dispel my negative thoughts, and I cleared my mind as I headed toward the ace at a dead run.
Fuck off!
I shouted as I swung my sword in a wide arch across his massive bare chest, which was also tattooed with a large black letter A. The ace grunted, and he brought his humongous axe up to block the blow. My sword rattled in my grasp, but with the strength potion still in my veins, I barely felt the impact. We both backed up a couple of paces and appraised each other as we circled, but the muck created a slippery foundation for a fight, so I was careful with my footing. Then the ace charged for me with his giant axe held over his head like it was as light as a feather. But I caught the metal edge against my sword and easily held off the blow. The ace had no eyes beneath the black hood covering his face, and I wasn't sure if that was better or worse as I stared into the void of the mask. I heaved backward with a groan, but the ace quickly rebounded. He swung his axe, and I blocked it with my sword. But after a few more parries, I began to feel my strength ebb. Oh, fuck, the potion was wearing off. I needed to end this, and soon, or I wouldn't be able to match the giant's strength anymore. So I jumped into an offensive stance and lunged forward. I caught the tip of my blade against the ace's massive bicep, and black blood seeped from the thin scratch, but I had to duck to avoid his grappling hands. The ace had dropped one hand from the handle of his massive axe to grab at me, but I rolled through the nastiness on the floor and out of his reach. Then I popped back up behind him, and I slashed my sword across his broad, bare back. A plume of black, inky blood spouted from the wound, and a guttural cry came from beneath the ace's hood. I'd injured him, at least, so I had hope I could win this fight. A hand as big as a pumpkin flew through the air and collided with my face, and my neck whipped to the side a half second before my body smacked into the wall. The air left my lungs like a bagpipe getting slammed with a sledgehammer, and I fell to my knees in the muck. I didn't feel much pain because of the strength potion, but my vision was still spinning, and my ears still rang like someone smacked me with a cymbal.
That all you got?
I gasped as I stood back up. Well, I wasn't going to let these innocent people become prisoners of the Clovers again, not after I'd worked so hard to save them. It was kill or be killed, and the latter wasn't an option. I was the Dreamer, and I was going to save all the land from the darkness. Then I lunged for the ace with a primitive growl echoing from my lips, and I tackled him around the waist. I hauled the massive man off his feet and above my head, and then I Hulk Hoganed him against the wall. The ace crashed into the stone while dust and debris exploded from around him, and he slumped his head down for a long moment. Game over, noob. I strode toward the ace and lifted my sword to plunge into his heart, but then the massive man's fist moved unbelievably fast and wrapped around my throat. The ace's voice sounded like a tuba getting dragged along gravel, and he gripped the shaft of his executioner's axe in one hand as he casually lifted me off my feet with the other. I clawed at his gloved fingers, and I managed to maneuver one of my hands around his digits. My lungs were burning, and my vision was beginning to blur around the edges, so I knew I didn't have much time before the ace snapped my neck. I grabbed onto my enemy's finger, and then I yanked backward with all my strength. There was a sound like twisted celery, and the beastly ace dropped me into the sewage as he let out a low moan. Before he had time to recover fully, I stabbed upward with my blade and caught him between the legs with a heavy thrust of my weapon. Black, inky blood poured down my steel, but I still twisted as I removed my sword. The ace fell to his knees, and the muck around us was as black as a midnight sky from the excessive amount of blood he'd already lost. But the muscular man tightened his grip on his axe and used it like a walking stick to pull himself to his feet. Again, I drove my sword into his fake flesh, and once more, blood seeped from the wound to add to the blackness below us. My enemy swung his giant double-headed axe at my head in a final effort to achieve victory, but I met his metal with my own. This time, my feet slid backward from the impact, and I realized my strength was gone. Fuck, it was now or never. My heart raced, and I thought it would escape from behind my ribcage since my organ was pounding against it so hard. But I inhaled as much oxygen as I could as I focused all my remaining energy into holding the ace off. The ace backed me into the wall, and he pressed against me until the shaft of his axe laid across my throat. I struggled to breathe as I pushed against him, but then I let my arms drop to my side. My enemy seemed confused by this, and pulled back ever so slightly, which gave me just enough space to jam my sword upward into the spot where a human would have a heart. I wasn't so sure about the Clover Card's anatomy, and this ace was different from any other I'd encountered so far, but I had to do something to get the advantage again. My limbs were heavy from exertion, but I wasn't going to give up. I yanked my sword out, and a plume of thick, inky blood sprayed from the now gaping hole, but still my opponent did not cry out. He seemed frozen in place, as though slowly realizing his dire situation. Then the shaft of the double-headed axe loosened against my throat, and I sucked in a grateful breath before I stabbed into the ace again and again until I was covered in his gore.
"Die, you juiced-out motherfucker!"
I stabbed into him as he stumbled back, but I didn't relent my attacks, even when he crashed to his knees. I jabbed my blade into his throat, his shoulders, his gut, and his heart, until his bare chest was so covered in black blood I could no longer discern the A tattooed there. The ace crashed face first into the water, and I was nearly toppled over from the motion, but I hopped back up and waited for my enemy to move again. He didn't. I'd won.